Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to see all of you here today. I am so thankful that the roads ended up being okay, because yesterday morning when I was bringing Chase out to get on the bus to go up to Layman for the tournament, there was some bad areas. And so I am glad the roads got cleared off, and it is so good to see all of you on our second Sunday in Lent. And we want to welcome you today and let you know that later on we're going to be talking about how God's plans often surpass what we can imagine or foresee. So as we begin our worship today, let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria. Join together there for our call to worship. All honor and glory to you, O God. In promise and covenant, God calls.
In hope and trust, we respond.
In love and faithfulness, God saves.
In
Well, let's do that this morning. Let's worship together. If you want to turn in your hymn books, it's hymn number 430, Victory in Jesus, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming
my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Well, let's join together this morning for our opening prayer. Ancient of Days, bring your presence into our midst. Open our hearts and minds to your word, that we may respond with hope and trust. With our ancestors of old, may we walk in the lineage of faithful discipleship. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're going to sing our next little Lenten chorus that we've been singing. We'll sing it through twice again. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. For as you sing it again, make it your prayer. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Yes, may God do that for us. Well, I'm going to invite our kids to come down this morning, if they would.
Paul tells us in the New New Testament, that when we put our faith in Jesus, we become children of Abraham. Because it was more than just for Abraham and his family, but all of his descendants. And guess who was a descendant of Abraham? Jesus. And when we trust in Jesus, we become a part of Jesus' family, which is a part of Abraham's family. See, did you know that? I know. You know what? I was probably a little older than you guys, and I found an old thing, a booklet in Mom and Dad in the upstairs bedroom that had all of these family members, cousins, relatives, Egberts, Redkers, Mowers, all these people that I was connected through family that I had no idea I was connected with. And that's the way it is with us, that we are part. Now, we used to sing this song in VBS, and I don't know, Miss Carla, you're going to have to help me out because it's been a long time since we sang it. It goes like this: Father Abraham and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. And then you went right foot, left foot, and then you went on, and you sang it again. And you kept adding it, so you went right foot, left foot, and I think the next time you went right arm, left arm, but all that. And that song is so true because we are a part of God's family because of that covenant that God made with Abraham. And we're a part of that too. And that's good news today, that we're a part of God's family. Okay? All right. You can go on downstairs this morning.
And as they're heading down this morning, we're going to go to our time of prayer. And so maybe if you have a joy or concern that you would like to share, we want to have an opportunity to hear those and to pray. And so we will do that this morning. Somebody this morning. Okay. Okay.
She's in Miami Valley Hospital.
Okay, so we want to remember Mary this morning, Mary Lou, not our Mary Lou, but another Mary Lou. Sometimes people ask me when they hear and listen to the online, they're like, oh, is that so-and-so? No, it's a different one. But yeah, so we want to pray for her cirrhosis. You had something else you wanted to share there? Yeah. Okay. So we want to remember Mary in our prayers this morning. Somebody else, I saw several hands. Yeah.
Just thank you for all the prayers. I go tomorrow for an MRI.
Okay. We want to continue praying there and for that and for a good report there with all of that that's going on. And Bev this morning, so we want to remember Bev. I saw a couple other hands, yeah.
I have 6 unspoken, but I also got a word from Paul in India. He told me to tell everybody hi, and they're still doing well over there. He just doesn't know if he's going to get back to the United States anytime soon.
Yeah, and that's kind of frustrating because we'd love to see him again for sure. So I think I saw a couple hands over here, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank God.
Yeah.
I'm glad everything went well. Yes. Somebody else. Yeah.
I have my last physical therapy on Tuesday and Dr. Clinton on Wednesday. Just prayers that all goes well and get the release and get back to work. And unfortunately, I won't be around as much again.
I know. We've been kind of spoiled with having you around and everything, and it's been a blessing, yes, for sure. But we want to pray for Dex as he's going in for that last thing there, because he's got to get the final okay before he can go back there. and we'll definitely do that. Somebody else, is there anybody else? Yeah. Oh boy, that's awful. I understand that very well. So we want to lift up Shauna this morning, definitely, yeah.
I have a cousin who's recovering from lung surgery. His name is Rick.
Okay, so we want to remember Rick this morning as he's recovering from surgery. Definitely want to do that. And, yep, and I saw another hand, yep. Oh. Ooh, okay.
And I have two unspoken things.
Okay. Hang on a minute here. Let me get this written down. Okay. So we want to remember Jeremy is recovering from a reaction there, and those can be very serious. And I'm going to go ahead. Good. And we're thankful for that too. That was a little scary when we heard about that. And so, yes. And go ahead.
I have a couple unspoken.
Okay. Yeah.
My father, Gene Davis, is getting ready to go in for a total shoulder replacement. He'll be 89 in May, so lots of prayers that everything goes well.
Yes. And you know what? I'm sure you know they probably put him through some testing to make sure. Yeah, they're usually pretty careful about that, making sure somebody can handle the surgery and everything. So we want to keep Gene in our prayers. And yep, and definitely want to do that. And I saw, yeah, go ahead, Annie. Okay, and help me with her first name?
Sharon.
Sharon, yeah, that's right. I think she's on our monthly, isn't she?
Yes.
But yes, and thank you for giving us a little bit of an update on there. Thank God she came through her radiation, and hopefully they'll be able to get that squared away and work that out. Somebody else? Anybody else? Yeah.
This all started Thursday when I went to the hospital. I got done doing everything. She was in the hospital. I just left her.
Oh,
wow. She fell down and cooked it up, so she knew to call 911.
Okay. Well,
I was taking care of her, and then Friday night, she fell down. I couldn't get her up. There was no way. I couldn't get her up at all. And I said, you know what to do. So she called 911 again.
Yeah.
Back up to the hospital. Well, by that time, the girls knew me of her. And they was all waving at me.
Well, definitely. Then we want to continue praying for Don's or mom and asking for God's touch upon her. And they may be trying to find out what's going on there. And so, yes, definitely want to do that. Yes.
And Jason, my nephew, Jeff, that's over in Ohio State, he's giving up.
Okay. And you said Jeff, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to make sure. Okay, definitely want to keep him in our prayers this morning. And anybody else? Did I miss anybody? Lots of them today, almost a page full. We want to continue to lift up Richard. I know he's on our monthly list, but continued strength. Some of you don't know, except maybe the prayer chain. Some of you remember Jim and Merle Hampton that came for a long time, and then when COVID hit, they didn't go anywhere. And but their son Carson who's my sister's age, had open heart surgery. I think it was Friday. And I haven't heard anymore. I was hoping Jim would got back with me, but just continue to pray for his recovery, and we'd appreciate that. And then continue to pray for Dolores as she continues to get stronger and so forth, and healing there. So any other before we go to prayer? All right. Well, there's lots of them there. And hopefully, as some of those names come to your mind this morning, that you will lift them up. And maybe some of those own needs that you had. And also, since so many of you mentioned, gosh, this is the first time what I do is I put unspoken and then I put marks. This is the first time I've ever put 10 marks down for unspoken requests. And so some of you that had mentioned those and you know about them, lift them up to the Lord, maybe more specifically there quietly in your seats. And we know God knows, and I'm sure many of you have been already doing that. But we want to agree with you today for whatever those needs may be and what's going on, whether it's for you or family members or whatever. And as she plays there, and then I'll come and close us out. Today, we are thankful that Jesus, the name above every name, is in this room with us today. There's quite enough hope and quite enough love and quite enough faith that as we lift up the needs that have been mentioned today, people that are hurting, people that are in need, people that need hope today and healing and strength. Jesus, we thank you that you are more than able to meet us and meet people at their point of need today. So we're thankful. And Lord, we ask that you would touch each of those that have been mentioned today. Lord, we think of Kay with cancer, God. Lord, we know that you're greater than cancer. And Lord, for Mary today, who has cirrhosis of the liver, and we're thankful that you are greater than cirrhosis. And Dex, who is recovering and healing well and going in for that last approval of physical therapy to get back to work. We're thankful that you're greater than that today. And for Shauna, Lord, who keeps falling and having issues and with her back and seeing a specialist, God, we're thankful that you are greater than that. And for Rick, who's recovering from surgery, God, that you are well able and greater than whatever he's facing in his life today. And for Jeremy, that is recovering from that bad reaction, God, that you are greater than that. And for Jean, Lord, that is going in for surgery, God, and And his daughter was concerned about the age there, but Lord, you are greater than his age. And you can guide and direct. And for Sharon, Lord, who has finished her radiation treatments, and we're thankful that you are greater than the cancer in her life, and that they can find that chemo treatment that will continue to help. And for Don's mom this morning, God, that you are greater than whatever she is facing today. And for Elaine that is sick and was up half the night, God, that you are greater than what she is facing today and can minister to her. And for Bev, who is going in for that MRI, Lord, to find out what's going on, Lord, that you are greater than whatever she is facing today. And Lord, we're trusting you for a good report. And for Jeff, Lord, who's just giving up, God, and Lord, we know that you're greater than whatever he is facing in his life today. And we just ask that you would intervene and make that real to him. For Richard today, that continued strength, Lord. And for Carson, who is recovering from that heart surgery, and we're thankful that you are greater, Lord. And for Dolores today, Lord, that as she is recovering, we pray for your continued strength and healing there. And that you are greater than what she is facing. You're greater than what every one of these people are facing today. And every one of those unspoken needs today, Lord, 10 of them, Lord, that I marked down. And maybe there's others that could not share today. We are thankful that you are greater than every one of those situations today. And we may not know exactly what they are, but Lord, you do. And we ask that you would move and minister as only you can, with your great and mighty hand, Lord, that is not too short, and that is greater than what we can imagine, because you are the great and mighty God. And Lord, we trust you today to minister and work in every one of these situations. And Lord, we just pray that your hand would be extended into the rest of our service today. Jesus, may you just speak to us and teach us as we continue to talk about the covenants that God has put in place for our lives. And we're grateful and thankful for those promises that are yes in Christ Jesus, as Paul said. They are all yes in Christ Jesus. And so we claim a hold of them today as we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, as we trust you for each of these needs and beyond, God. As we ask him in the mighty name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Thank you for praying with us today. Thank you so much. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. And thank you so much for your faithfulness. God is so good to us and has blessed us in so many ways. And I'm very thankful that we are able to be a part of that kingdom work of being able to give and see blessings and results in people's lives, like we shared earlier with the blankets and all of that. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. Let's join together for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. God of futures not yet seen, may our gifts we offer merge with your Spirit to bring hope and transformation to our world. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Boy, I don't know. Maybe it was just me. I don't know if you sensed it, but I just sensed God's presence in such a special way when we were praying earlier. And so thank you so much for just joining together. I really believe that we can make a difference in people's lives when we kind of stand in the gap for others that need that and whatever they're facing in their life. Well, this morning we're looking at a familiar passage out of Genesis. At least I hope it's familiar to some of you. One of the great covenant promises found in the Old Testament there. Genesis chapter 17. It's our lectionary Old Testament reading. And it's found, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11 and 15 through 17a. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Walk with me and be trustworthy. I will make a covenant between us, and I will give you many, many descendants." Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, "But me, my covenant is with you. You will be the ancestor of many nations. And because I made you the ancestor of many nations, your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham. I will make you very fertile, and I will produce nations from you, and kings will come from you. I will set up my covenant with you and your descendants after you in every generation as an enduring covenant. I will be your God and your descendants' gods after you. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are immigrants, the whole land of Canaan, as an enduring possession. And I will be their God." God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, and you and your descendants in every generation in it. And this is my covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Circumcise every male. You must circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, and you will, and it will be a symbol of the covenant between us." God said to Abraham, "As for your wife Sarai, you will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will now be Sarah, and I will bless her and even give you a son from her. And I will bless her so that she will become nations, and kings of people will come from her." Abraham fell on his face and laughed. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning, and that the Spirit would help us to hear what God wants to say this morning. Well, sitting on the side of the highway waiting to catch speeders, a highway patrol sees a car moving along at 22 miles per hour. He thinks to himself, "This person is more dangerous than the speeder." So he turns on his lights and he pulls them over. Approaching the car, he notices five older ladies, two in the front seat and three in the back. And the three in the back, their eyes are wide and they look as white as ghosts. The driver, obviously confused, says to him, "Officer, I don't understand. Wasn't I doing the exact speed limit? What seems to be the problem?" "Ma'am," the officer said, "you weren't speeding. But you should know that driving slower than the speed limit can be just as dangerous to drivers." "Slower than the speed limit?" she asked. "No, sir, I was doing the speed exactly, 22 miles an hour." The old woman says it kind of proudly. The police officer says, trying to explain, while maybe almost chuckling, says to her that 22 is the state route number that you're on, not the speed limit. A bit embarrassed, the woman grinned, thanked the officer for pointing out his error. "Before I let you go, ma'am, I have to ask, is everyone in the car okay? The women in the back seemed awfully shaken, and I haven't seen them say a word the whole time." She says, "Oh, they're all right, officer. We just got off State Route 119. I want to talk to you this morning about God's promises. God's promises. I was struck by the last sentence in verse, at the beginning of verse 17. Abraham fell to his face in an act of awe and worship, and then he laughs. Have you ever found yourself thinking, God, that seems impossible? How could that ever happen? How could you ever do that? And we may not have laughed out loud, but maybe we have in our own mind thought, that's crazy. How could God ask that of me? Or how could God say, speak that to me? Or whatever it may be this morning. Not only did he laugh out loud, but he laughed until he was almost out of breath. The story of Sarah and Abraham challenges our perceptions of limitations and possibilities. It teaches us that God's plans often surpass what we can imagine or foresee, as was up on the PowerPoint earlier in the service. Why? Well, here's why. At the age of 99, Abram, and 90, Sarai, the story is told that Abram and Sarai encountered God as El Shaddai, the mountainous one, who promised an abundance of descendants as seemingly unbelievable of a task that was for an aging, childless couple. Sarah and Abraham's story is a testament to trusting and receiving God's promises as we, and there's a couple things I want to share with you. First of all, as we walk with God this morning. If you look and remember those first couple verses there in at the beginning of chapter 17, God calls Abraham. And God, so as I thought about that this morning or this past week, God calls us to live each day with God. Here's what happened there. God comes to Abraham and Sarai and says, "I am God Almighty, God the mountainous one. Walk before me." And that Hebrew word there, depending on which version you read from, literally means holy or soundly. That doesn't mean we're perfect when we walk with God. It means that we do it with our heart, that we put our heart into it. And faith involves living our lives in God's presence. In other words, it's making God part of our lives. Now, there are times when we can make God part of our lives when we're here in worship, or when a need arises and we're not sure what, how it's going to turn out or what's going to happen, or there's a crisis and we pray and we ask for God's help. But God doesn't just want us to make him a part of our lives in those moments, but God wants us to make our lives a part of God every day, no matter what's going on. Good, bad, ups, downs, whatever. We can talk to God at any time like our best friend. Why is that? Why does God say that to Abraham and Sarah? Well, I think there's a reason there. And that's because, and especially as it's pointed out there in the story about Abraham specifically, and Sarah too, God calls us to trust in God's incredible ability. That's why I think God tells them, make me part of your everyday life. because you just don't know what life's going to bring you. There will be up days and you'll be rejoicing and everything will go fine. And then there'll be like the times when they got to go rescue Lot, his cousin or nephew, whichever, I think it's a nephew, or the one king of another country takes an attraction to Abraham's wife, Sarah. What am I going to do now? I mean, I could keep going on and telling you things, but all of this has to do with learning to trust God and God's incredible ability to work in their lives. God's promise to Abraham and Sarah showcases God's unwavering power and faithfulness. As Carla played that during the offering, great is thy faithfulness. You know, sun, moon, and stars. I mean, that whole hymn is about everyday life and what we're facing in life. And the essence of God's promise for Abraham and Sarah was to have a son. Yes, at 99 and 90. And it invites us to embrace faith in the face of uncertainty. It reminds us that God's power exceeds our limitations, inviting us to believe in the extraordinary possibilities of God in our lives and when we are walking with God in our lives. All of that happens as we walk with God in those various ways. And then also as we embrace God's call in our lives. Yes, we're talking about specifically the call of Abraham and Sarah, but there's also that call in all of our lives to follow in God's ways and walk with God. As I thought about this week, I was going in one direction, and then as I was rereading the story, some things jumped out at me, and so I reworked this latter point here. Two things that kind of jumped out to me. First of all, God's call means we have significance. Significance. Notice that in the story, God tells both Abram and Sarai, I'm going to change your name. I made this covenant with you. I made this promise with you. Now I want you to change your name. Abram means exalted father or exalted ancestor. And it's going to get changed to Abraham, which means ancestor of a horde. Literally. Yeah, a horde. That's why our translation today said many, many descendants. More than you can imagine. Some of you know, a few of you know, but my oldest brother, Mike, had 7 kids. And we joking that he's got like 30 some grandkids and great grandkids already. And we joke and talk about how fertile that side of the family is. And we kind of joke around about that. But that's the idea that's coming across here. And Sarai is going to be changed to Sarah, which means queen or princess of this group. And all of that name change is a sign of the blessings to come in their lives. Because God says, I will make a covenant between us and I will give you many, many descendants. That name change implies they have significance. That God is using and going to do something with their lives. And God's covenant with Abraham and Sarah, as it got emphasized several times, God brought forth nations and leaders in it, and it was an amazing outcome. And as I was trying to share with the children, Paul doesn't go back to Moses and the law of God and the Ten Commandments when he talks about the new covenant. He goes back to Abraham. Abraham, the unconditional promise of God, and says, just like Abraham, just trust God. And all of this will happen because of it. And yes, we are significant as God's descendants and family too. And it makes me realize, as I read this over and over again this week, that God desires to bless us too. I know it's sometimes beyond our thinking, but could we imagine kings, leaders, and great people coming out of our lines of family. Maybe not in the world, but maybe in their community. Maybe in the town that they live in. Maybe that's already happening with some of your loved ones. God could be blessing us in that way to make a difference so that that gets passed in to family lines. God's call means we have significance. And God's call means we are marked. Marked. Now, yes, I know the sign was for all the males in the family line. Circumcision. Circumcision. Circumcision was the sign of the covenant, which points to what God was doing there in their lives. But let me just say something to you. Paul picks up in Colossians chapter 2 and talks about circumcision. And he says, just like there was a cutting away in that sign, he says, when you are baptized into Christ Jesus, there has been a cutting away in your life. The old person in you has been cut away, or as he says in Romans chapter 6, has been buried with Christ in baptism and left there so that you can rise and walk in newness of life. And Paul talks about baptism and faith and reception of the Spirit as marks, God's mark on our life. For we are made part of Christ's body, the church. And God desires that love and grace and favor will be upon our lives as we go forth every day. Think of a time when you faced a seemingly impossible situation. What did God do for you in those situations? Just as God promised fulfilled promises to Abraham and Sarah, God holds remarkable plans for us too. God's covenant demonstrates God's unwavering faithfulness through our life's trials. All you got to do is read the story of Abraham. All you got to do, I mean, you could go through and just look at every one of the ancestors. You could look at Abraham. You could look at Sarah. I mean, you could look at Isaac and Rebekah. You could look at Jacob and Leah and Rachel. I mean, you could, and then Joseph. Every one of them, because they went through difficult times, did not mean the promise of God was not true in their lives. And the same is true for us today. Our lives are a part of this remarkable story of God's promises, urging us to stand firm in trust, even when we face life's most daunting difficulties. Let me close here with some questions or thoughts. Consider a time when you faced a seemingly impossible situation. How did God's promises offer hope and guidance during those challenging times? How might embracing God's power to fulfill unexpected promises transform your faith when you are wondering if I'm going to make it through? All of those questions, I think, are important today. Why? Because we have God's promises. Amen and amen. Well, let's just take a moment here this morning and take a moment and greet one another and share a little bit of that blessing. And then we'll close out with verses 2 and 3 of the hymn we closed out with last week. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You can go ahead and start playing there for heaven. If you want to follow along, or we can sing the last two verses there of Have Thine Own Way as we close out this morning. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is Thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till let's join together for our benediction, a calling, a naming, a claiming, and a promise. May God's blessing be with us wherever we work, worship, and serve, today and always. Amen.